turn green, and I see that the light, from the other direction, on the side, has turned yellow and it's getting ready to turn red. And so I know what that means. It's like, it's time for me to go. And so I look to my right, and I saw this particular car, because I want to make sure everybody's going to come to a stop, you know, and I see this particular car barreling towards the intersection, and in my head, I'm going, well, like 99% of the time, people are going to stop, but it's something about this person is driving way too fast, and they're so not slowing down enough that they're actually going to be able to stop. So instead of the light turns green, instead of going, I just kind of like, all right, hold on a second, and thankfully the person on the opposite side saw the same thing and waited, and this person in the car just comes barreling towards the intersection and just goes right on through, right? And there was this truck that was coming from the other direction that was slowing down to stop because they wanted to turn right, you know? And you know how it is, you turn right, you stop, you look to your left and see if it's clear to go, and then, you know, you make the turn. Well, this truck comes right up there, and it's just that this car is barreling through at the same time as this truck is coming up. And, you know, you pull up to kind of stop and look, and this truck just pumps the brakes, and just the front end of that truck, you know, it just dives down, right, and the weight of that truck. And he stops, and that car is just gone. Like, never even saw anybody else in the world. I don't know what the deal was, that because I couldn't see it. The windows were tinted, and they were gone, right? So, hey, be careful when you come to the intersection, right? Not everybody does what they should be doing at that intersection. And that day when I got Drew, of course, in the clear, no wreck or nothing, and I get Drew, and we're leaving the high school, headed back towards to pick up Hope. And so I'm like, hey, he's going to be driving here within, you know, a few months. This is a great teaching moment, right? And so I'm telling him this story. And I want him to understand that, you know, each color on those stoplights, it matters. And what you do, stop and yield and go at the right time in the right way, that matters, and that can affect your well-being and the well-being of other people around you. Like, you really do have to pay attention. And I know this is not driver's ed class today. I totally get that. The more that you respond appropriately, the more it shapes safer driving behavior. And so I wanted my son to kind of understand this principle, unless you're looking at your phone and texting or something or whatever, you know, when you're driving, then it won't really matter what kind of habit you have that habit, I guess, right? But you're going to get yourself in a world of hurt. So, and I can say, like, I run, I haven't run for a while, but I've run a lot and on the streets, and it's amazing the number of people that are texting and driving today, are fiddling with their phones at the same time they're trying to drive down the road. It is crazy. You see so many people doing this. It's crazy we don't have more accidents than we do with people that are doing this while they're driving. So you guys are going to be driving soon. Don't do that, right? And so for y'all that may do that sometimes, and I'm guilty once in a while, I've been one of those people, you know, that's sort of done that. Let's not do that, right? The things that we practice today can impact what happens in the moment and down the road. And we want to make sure we've got some healthy habits. And I'm going to come back to that, but let me brag on our elders for just a moment, and it is relevant. You may not know, the rest of you who are not serving as elders at this time, you may not know, but I want to tell you how proud I am of our elders here at New Hope. Because when we're getting ready to tackle 2020, jump into this year, and hey, by the way, April 1st will be 1 year since I've been here as pastor. It's amazing, like it's gone by like that so fast, and I'm so excited. I just can't believe how quick it's going and how far we have come in a year, right? God is so good, totally, and I'm so proud of our elders, because when we're getting ready to jump in this new year, and like, where is our focus really want, where should that be? We all agreed that we need to make sure that we focus on the things that really matter. We could focus on all sorts of stuff, but the things that really matter. Like, and so I'm like, do we really understand and all agree on what our purpose is for being here, you know, as a church? And what are we trying to accomplish as a church? And like, what are our most pressing objectives that we need to be focusing on so that we can be in the best position to grow as a church numerically, but also to see people discipled and growing up in Christ? Because that's part of our main purpose, one of our main purposes for being here. And we understood that, you know what? What we do over and over and over habitually, right? Those practices that we have, that those things will influence how we grow. And so it kind of sparked us to also kind of ask the question and say, hey, you know, are we doing the right things over and over that we should be doing? Are we teaching everything that we should be teaching? Do we have all the right, do we have our ducks in a row and all this kind of stuff? And I think we have been on a good trajectory. But those are things that we want to explore those things and ask those questions because, man, being the church is a big responsibility and it means a lot. And I think what I'm so proud of that what they're doing on a like macro kind of larger level is something that all of us need to make sure that we're also doing on a micro, but on, like on a personal level. And so with that being said, I want to jump into the biblical text this morning, and we're going to actually sort of have two that are going to kind of work together. But the first one is this, is Philippians chapter 1. And if you got your Bible or the book or on your smartphone, you want to open up to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, is where I want to read from this morning. The Apostle Paul writes this letter to the Christians that are in Philippi, and it's a people who are wanting to be true to the gospel and, you know, true to Christ, and yet they're dealing with people who are telling them they need to be a certain way and do certain things in order to really be a follower of Jesus, and it doesn't line up with what, you know, Paul had already taught them and the gospel, and so they're really struggling, and Paul has this prayer for them that starts out his letter, and I want to read a part of that prayer. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, he writes this, "This is my prayer, that your love might become even more and more rich with knowledge and all kinds of insight. I pray this so that you will be able to decide what really matters. And so you will be sincere and blameless on the day of Christ. I pray that you will then be filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes from Jesus Christ, in order to give glory and praise to God." May the Lord bless the reading of His Word in our hearts and our minds today. Amen. This is such a great little text. This is a great, powerful prayer that Paul says, I want you to grow up in God's love. I want you to grow up in being, I love the way the phrase that John Wesley uses, being perfected in love, right? Growing up in God's love so that your love might become rich with knowledge and knowing God and the spiritual wisdom so that you can be able to make decisions in things that really matter. And things that are really important. And you'll know the difference between the things that are not good and the things that are ought to be cautious of and the things that are healthy and are good and that you'll sort of green light and go forward with those things. I pray that you will be filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes from Christ in order that you give glory and praise to God. I want your whole life to be a testimony to the goodness of God. I want what people see in you and what they hear from you. I want them what they watch you do, how you carry on your life, how you carry yourself, how you respond to stuff that happens in life. I want them to be able to listen and watch and be able to see what the righteousness of Christ looks like through your life. Man, what a prayer. Whew, talk about, I've like some weight just, you know, like just listening to that. That's a deep prayer. But right on the money. Well, the second text is Acts chapter 6. I'm not going to read the whole chapter for us this morning, but if you want to turn over there, you certainly can. For those of you that may be a little familiar with this chapter, you will recognize that this is the place where there are some widows who are feeling as though they're being neglected. So you got the Greek and the Jewish widows, and so part of the Jewish faith was, you take care of the widows, okay? And so some of them felt like, well, we're not getting the care we should be getting, and they're getting more. And so this complaint comes to the apostles. Don't you love when people bring complaints to you? They're always fun. You love it? Okay, anyways. And so the apostles, they hear it, and they stop, and they say, we're not going to ignore what you're saying, but we want to come up with a way to answer this concern. Because that is a very valid concern. I love how the people of God hear a complaint and they don't bark back. They say, let me stop and listen to what you're saying. That'll preach, won't it, right there? You got a problem? Well, let me listen that I might understand. Not just listen so that to be understood, because I already know what I want to tell you, right? You ever listen like that? We talked about this before. You know, listen to understand versus listening to be understood. Because I'm not really listening. I'm waiting my turn to tell you what I think about it. Then that's not really love. Love is listening to understand, that then we can work together. So they decide that we want to hear what the issue is. And so now we want to figure out how do we handle this problem in a way that will honor God and bless the people. And so they meet together, and then through spiritual wisdom, they make this decision of how to do it. And God ends up blessing the church. And if you read Acts chapter 6, you will see that that's essentially how the story plays out. And what I really love about this story, and again, I'm paraphrasing the story for this morning, okay, is that the apostles looked at what was happening right in front of them, and they had wisdom to say, there's a need that needs to be met, and we could take care of this ourselves, and we could take on the responsibility of making sure that this is happening correctly. But what they realized was that if we do that, here's the wisdom part, if we do that, then we are going to take away from the time that will not allow us to spend in prayer and to the study and the teaching of the word, so that all these new believers in Jerusalem and around the area can be growing up and understanding who Jesus Christ really is and what it means to live a life as a part of his spiritual kingdom. So they say, we have to stick to that. So we're going to red light the possible temptation to do this ourselves. And so therefore, we're going to tell you, hey, y'all appoint deacons of spiritual insight, maturity, that can oversee making sure that the widows are getting everything that they need, that, right, the compassionate ministries are, so to speak, right? So we just kind of use that general term, that is happening and it's all going the way that it needs to be going so that the people are being blessed. When I think about some of the temptations and maybe some of the practices, the habits that we might have if we think on a personal level of this idea of that maybe there are some habits we have that we don't red light, right? We don't pump the brakes and stop as maybe as well as we should. I want to share maybe a few thoughts for ideas, and as much as anything, I share these ideas because I know for me personally, like I've had times where I've wrestled with this. But what if we have the habit of listening to the untruths, the lies that people want us to believe about ourselves that do not align with the truth of who we are in Christ? There are some who grow up in homes where their guardians do not speak words of value, words that edify, a message that builds children up. It does the opposite. They speak words and with emotions and attitudes that tear family members down. And those family members, because that's the way that they are being raised, that's what they hear, that's what they see, that's emotionally what they experience all the time, they can begin to believe an untruth, that they are not valuable and that they really don't have worth, and that no one really does care about how they feel or what they think. And that's an untruth. Because the Word of God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of a mighty God. And you do have value. And you are worth all that you can imagine and more. You can contribute value to the well-being of other people, even though you may have been told you'll never do anything to amount to anything to make a difference or make any good on this earth. And sometimes we may have grown up and around folks who spoke those things or maybe things similar to that. Are y'all tracking kind of what I'm saying with that? And we begin to believe that is true when it's really not. That's a red light, right? That's a pump the brakes on that thing, right? Just hit it hard. Don't give in to believing the untruths that maybe is what you keep telling yourself because that's what you've heard for so long about who you are. Maybe, potentially, you have the habit of saying ugly or snide remarks that tear people down when you're hurting so that you feel better about yourself or you feel justified in your emotions or the expectations that they didn't meet that you had for them. And so your response is to what? Instead of going, I'm going to be patient. Oh, no. Let me tell you what. You know, don't you love it? I mean, I don't. isn't it crazy, the figures of speech that we'll use? Don't you just love it when folks are so quick to tell you what they think and with an attitude and just ugliness sometimes? You know, you ever worked customer service? I have. Holy smoke. It's amazing the things that folks will just say and don't even think to just like use any kind of filter. And it'll just come right out. And it is just downright hateful, snide, ugly, sometimes passive-aggressive, if you know what that term means. Sometimes like a tank is like, I will just roll you over right now if you don't give me what I want. That is such a horrible way. Like, that's just an unhealthy way to be. And if you ever sense that, you know what, I might have that tendency at times, can I encourage you, like, pump the brakes on that, you know? Just like, pump the brakes on it. That's a red light. That's a red light. That's a stop. And perhaps, maybe, you wrestled with this habit of dwelling in some unhealthy emotions that deceive you to feel that you are hopeless and lost, apathetic, overcome, that you're always the victim, that it never goes right for you. This is horrible. It's just that folks is like, this ain't never going to amount to anything today. This is horrible. Why did anybody get out of bed today? Ought to just like call in sick. Ought to just go home today. I done put in half a day. I've had enough. I'm going, this is ridiculous. I can't handle this anymore. Or what, you know, I've been there. I have been there and done that. I bought that t-shirt and it didn't fit well. But I wore it anyways. That's not who we are in Christ. We are way better than that. Because you see, the scripture that I read and the message of this cross says that you are not a victim, but you're a victor in Christ. You are not overcome and it's all hopeless. No, see, in Christ you are an overcomer and you have hope. You don't have to live your day in fear of the unknown, full of anxiety and wrestling. No, why? Because the Lord is sovereign over the heavens and the earth, and you belong to Him, and He is a mighty God, and He can handle the things that concern you today. So you don't have to walk in fear and worry and anxiety for the things that you can't control anyways. I promise you, if you give in to fear, you will ultimately fail. But yet, if you will trust in the road of faith, it's not always easy. But by faith, we can flourish, and by fear, we can fail. I believe that works all the time. How many of you drive a car? Some of you drive a nice Mustang, or a pretty cool Jeep. Or I don't know, sorry, that's me, my bad. I love my Jeep. So you've gone through a stoplight a time or two. Yeah, not that you ran it. You've come up to a stoplight. You don't need to tell me your habits. So when you, it's not the time or the place. So when you've come to that light and it turns red, what does that light do before it turns red? It goes from green to what? Yes, these guys even knew it already. Excellent. It turns to yellow. And what does that yellow mean? Yield. I thought for sure one would be like, go faster. Because I think some of y'all was thinking it. All right. So let's say it's not go faster all the time. It's meant to be a warning that we would take caution as we go through that intersection. There we go. Let me take you back to Acts chapter 6 for a moment. So there you have the apostles, and they are in this moment of they've got this complaint, and we've got to deal with this because it's right and it's the proper thing to do. And so they decide that they need to consider what was going to be healthy for them and healthy for this ongoing work of this Jesus movement, right? That's afoot there in Jerusalem, and it's sort of spread out to other areas. And, of course, they didn't, you know, so we need to be able to focus on praying for the church and the people. We need to focus on making sure that the word is getting out so people understand who Jesus is, who is the Savior and the Lord of the Jews and the Gentiles. And we need to be teaching these new believers. And I love this wisdom. I love that this is sort of right there in this story. It's being said without having to be said, right? I love that. Because what it helps me to be reminded of is that what we give our energies to tends to shape who we become and what we do for God. Now, the easy way of looking at this, I think, in our personal lives is that sometimes we're not sure if some of the habits we have, right, are really even that bad for us. You know, I mean, really, I mean, just think about it. You go, I think that's like a value neutral. Like, I'm not sure that that's really like good or bad. It's just something, a habit that I do and something I, you know, whatever. But I would encourage us to consider even taking time to think about those things. So I may look at it and go, I don't think this habit, like Nate, like I don't think this habit is like really like a bad thing. I don't, it doesn't help. It doesn't. I don't feel like it makes me not love Jesus, or I don't think it's about me being like ugly to people or anything. You know, it's just a habit that I have. But maybe one of the questions that I could ask myself is, okay, I have this habit. Now, is this habit something that may, in the long run, cause me to have a dependency on something that might weaken my dependency on God? Does it cause me to value something maybe more than I value? Maybe time spent with God in His Word. You know, whatever that may be, it's just taking time to just say, well, what about this habit that I have? God, help me to understand. Because I may look at it and go, I don't think it's that big a deal. But maybe God looks at it and says, it's really not a huge deal, but potentially this could be grow into something that could really not be that healthy for you and your faith and the right? And being willing and open to things that I want to do with you, and right? And so we go, okay, God, I'm willing to listen, so could you help me? I think that's a great prayer. Don't ever be afraid to ask God to help you. It's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of wisdom. I like that. That works. But let me get an option that maybe is a little more forward. I know that this is one that I have had to watch, and I want to share with you what my experience has been. If I use God's name in vain, when the scripture says that I ought not to do that, the habit can develop a mindset in me that His name is not as holy as He says it is in the scriptures. Habits can shape beliefs. I guarantee you. I've worked with a lot of kids in different schools, volunteering, sports, blah, 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 church, kids that, you know, in the community that come over for different programs in school and so on. And here's one of the things that I have found to sort of be a pattern. It's challenging to teach kids that God is holy if they've learned the habit of using His name in common swearing. It's hard to teach kids that God is holy if they're so attuned to hearing his name in such a common form. Make sense? Probably. Pretty simple. So what I experienced was in working with kids was that, you know, kids would just throw it out there. And I'm like, okay, you know. And you know when kids are doing it, where they learn it from. They learn at home. Whoever spends a lot of time with them influences them. So you would hear that, and I'll go, okay, hey, can we not, would you mind if we didn't use God's name that way? And I would say it in just like a real simple, easy way. I wouldn't, you know, don't do that, you know. It's like, no, okay, do you mind if we didn't use his name that way? And so many times I would see this sort of glossed over look on the face like, what does it matter? Like, why is it wrong? And it's kept reminding me that it's, if you take something which is holy and you make it commonplace, it's very hard for us to hold an understanding that it's high and lifted up. I share this not to cause us to squirm in our seats. I share it because I know that I've wrestled with this, and it's something that I've struggled with in understanding and being challenged with in my faith. And being a parent and working with kids, like, it hit home for me. Here's a different example. Let me explore this one just real briefly. If we maybe have the habit of thinking the worst about people, all their flaws, their incompetencies, how they don't meet our expectations all the time, how they're wrong, and we know that we're right, you know, that habit of doing that can develop an unmerciful attitude, and it's kind of almost this cold, prideful attitude that elevates ourselves and devalues somebody else because they can't get their junk together. And what I think tends to happen in that is when we have that habit, we tend to marginalize people. Does that make sense? We tend to push them off to the side because they can't get it together and do right. Instead of extending patience and mercy to them. Now I get standards, you know, I get all that kind of stuff, right? But how we think about people impacts how we love people. I was riding a car with a friend of mine. This story came to mind as I was thinking about this. I was riding this car. We were spending a couple hours together, and you ever been in your car and somebody just like, you're driving and they're like, you know, and they're like, well, good grief, they were in a hurry to get somewhere today, you know, or they honk at you because you're not turning fast enough or you're not going quick enough for them. And this person had done this. And I noticed it, you know, and my friend did too, and they just go, zoop, zoop, you know, and it was like, well, you're like, oh, I'm kind of rude. And I remember what my friend said. He said, you know what? He said, I used to get upset about that. Road rage, you know. He said, but I'm kind of growing to learn that, you know, everybody's got a story. And I don't know what's going on in their life right then. And it's not my place, and it's not healthy for me to sit there and to essentially judge somebody by my thoughts and my attitude in that moment when I don't even know them. I don't know anything about them in that moment. Like, that's not healthy for me. And that meant a lot to me because that showed me a picture of a person that's growing in maturity. And it caught my attention. And I want to thank my friend for that. So I give you this meme this morning. You've heard me say it before. You ready? Here it is. If you're a parent, I use those with my kids. This is good. It's gold. You ready? Here it is. Just because you could doesn't mean you should. And you go, oh my gosh, that's so simple. Well, yeah. Parenting's not rocket science. It's really not. It's hard. It's not rocket science. Two different things. It's hard. And the standard's high. I get it. Just because you could doesn't mean you should. Just because you could believe that you're always right doesn't mean you should. Just because you could choose to believe that that person's an idiot because of what they did or said doesn't mean you should. Just because you could rip somebody a new one for offending you doesn't mean you should. Parents, listen. Just because you could yell at your children and belittle them because they didn't do what they were supposed to doesn't mean that you should yell at them. Just because you could post an ugly comment on Facebook because you're not happy about somebody or something, even our own government, doesn't mean that you should. Just because you could doesn't mean you should. Use caution, right? Use caution. Think through those things. Always proceed with caution and don't be afraid to pump the brakes. What we choose not to do, I think, is as important as what we choose to do. What we choose not to do is as important as what we choose to do. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. So we believe at New Hope Community Church, our purpose is to make disciples of Christ who love, grow, and serve. And part of that grow is not just to grow by faith and in community, but it's to grow with healthy habits. Now the fun one. The green light. The green light. Absolutely. Here we go. You ready for this one? Here we go. Short and to the point. When we repeatedly choose to be patient and graceful with someone who's aggravating us, you know what happens? This is the beauty. This Paul was helping us to understand this in Philippians chapter 1. He says that God is growing us up in the stature of Christ, perfecting us in love. When somebody gives me hate or venom or anger, when I choose to be patient and graceful with this person, God's grace is growing me up in the stature of Christ. Well, flip it. When we choose to be merciful and refrain from being a jerk to someone who disappointed us because acting and speaking ugly is not something that's Christ-like, God's grace also is growing us up. God works through our choices, right? It's God's grace, but also the choices out of our own moral responsibility to do the right things to the wisdom of God that He gives to us that would influence what we choose to do and then shape who we're becoming in our character in Christ. What we do makes a difference in our growth. When we repeatedly choose to bless people in need because God cares for all people, God's grace grows up in the stature of Christ. It makes a difference. So what's the secret to doing all this? Well, here's an easy thought. You guys got one of these? Maybe it's on your phone, or you got the book. I want to encourage you in this. There's a lot of wisdom in God's Word. Can I invite you to consider keep spending, or to start, depending on where you're at, spending time prayerfully with God and His Word. Remembering that it's time spent with God and His Word, hoping and anticipating that God is going to speak wisdom to us, right? We're not coming to it just to consume, but believe that if we come to God with faith in His Word, His Word says that is useful to teach us and rebuke us and correct us and train us. 2 Timothy 3:16. Like, there's power in the Word of God. Just take that time prayerfully, just spend with God and listen. What does He say to you? Where does He challenge you? If you're not feeling as though God is challenging you to grow through your time spent with Him, can I invite you just sit a little bit longer? Listen. God wants more for you than where you are today. I'm confident of this. For some, it's like, God, I've got to deal with these kids today, and I tell you what, if you don't give me something, I may just strangle them. I don't know. It's just like, I know they're going to test my patience today. Maybe it's my grandkids. I don't have grandkids, but you know. I mean, but I know today might be a rough day, or at least, you know, we're 5 minutes into breakfast, and it's already not shaping up to be too hot right about now. Where is this going to go today? Please, in the name of Jesus, you know, help me. Help me to tame my tongue today with my family. Help me to extend grace and patience. Help me to extend mercy when I'm tempted to give something else. God, help me today. Please help me to share and to show the character of Jesus with my kids and my grandkids and my spouse. My wife does this really well with me. I don't always do it as well for her. But she extends me so much grace and mercy and patience. She's a rock star. I love you. Don't underestimate the value of the one that God has placed into your life to extend grace and mercy to him or her, to bless him or her, to be patient. Don't take for granted the fact that they are there in your life. You don't know how long you have them beyond this moment. Value them. Love on them. If you need to say you're sorry, say you're sorry. If you need to share your heart, share your heart. If you're wrestling with something, figure it out together. Go before God with a humble spirit and a prayerful heart and say, Lord, help me, help us. Please, Lord. And I know this one feels like I'm preaching to the choir, but it's fair. Make Sunday worship a priority in your life, in your family, so that we all can grow together as we worship together and celebrate God, share in the sacrament of communion together. We sing together and we pray together and we learn together and we have lunch together, which is awesome. But the togetherness, right, that making this a priority in our lives, to keep doing that. And, you know, when you go through trials and hardships, don't go through them alone. Allow the body of Christ to walk with you and just hold your hand as you go through that. The enemy would try to convince you that you are on your own and you're screwed. Sorry, shouldn't say that. But that's like being bold. That's kind of the deal, though. It's like it's hopeless, you're overcome, you're going to lose, you'd be afraid, it's all over, the fat lady's already sung, you know, it's like it's all done. And God's like, no, we ain't even done yet, my friend. I'm going to grow you through this. Just hold on and follow me. God loves you. God loves you. Please don't lose sight of that. Even when you hurt, God still loves you. Lean on His grace. And I would share this. Take responsibility for what you think and what you say and what you do. Take responsibility. If you mess up, confess. Don't worry about what other people are going to think of you. If you make the mistake and you're in the wrong and you feel that conviction, confess that thing and say, I said I would do something. I didn't do it. I messed up. I'm sorry. I did not want to hurt. I'm sorry. I said that, and I was so frustrated, and I didn't filter that through just because I could doesn't mean I should, you know, and that came out, and it's like, I can't take it back. And I could see in your face that when you heard it and you saw me act that way, that it hurt. Because, see, we often were like, well, they should ignore it because I was right anyway. It's like, no, I was wrong, and I'm so sorry I said that and did that. That was not right. I'm sorry. Man, those are two hard words to say, aren't they? I'm sorry. Yeah. Personally, I think it's hard to grow without those two words in your vocabulary. Healthy habits are ones I believe is the poor of the scriptures, or that come when we soak them in wisdom, in biblical wisdom. And we give space for that wisdom to inform our practices with a healthy love for God and ourselves and other people. My prayer for us today is that as we leave this time of being in the Word, that we would remember that we want to have healthy habits that nurture a listening ear to God through prayer and His Word in community with other people. And that you're going to have God's grace, every single one of us. You can't grow without grace. So lean on that grace alongside each other, so that together we can grow and keep growing as the body of Christ here at New Hope and beyond. And if you need to pump the brakes on some things, you know, hey, that's okay. Pump the brakes on those things. Have the humility in response to God's wisdom to do the things that you know you need to do, or maybe stop doing. Use caution and rely on the Lord. I believe that these elements I preach on today, or teach on today, are really part of this journey of growing up in the heart and the mind of Christ. And I hope that it encourages us in our walk as we leave today and we go out on mission into the world, right? That it'll encourage us to think and to trust and listen to the Lord, using biblical wisdom, being sensitive to the Spirit of God as He directs us all day, every day, and trust the Lord for the results. Amen. Hey, would our worship team come this morning and lead us in song as we close out? And can I invite you, would you stand with me? Let the blood go from the head to the legs. Father, as we've been in your word and as part of our worship time today of hearing from you, and we're going to speak back to you of our faith and sing as the body, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would take the words that we've heard, you would continue to shape us and grow us in ways that maybe we don't even understand today that we need to grow, but would you give us wisdom and give us the power to be able to persevere and be patient and be humble, that we might grow by your grace in all ways that are good for your glory. Amen.